Have you ever talked with a friend or coworker or family member about a recent road trip, and during the conversation, they ask you if you stopped at this place or stopped at that place? Did you check this? Did you see this? Did you eat this or eat here? And then you realize that, you know what, while you're either going to that destination or coming back to that destination, like, you missed a whole bunch of stuff. And then, of course, FOMO sets in, you know, which is fear of missing out, in case you don't know. And that sucks. That feeling sucks. So in the last episode, we chatted about how to make road trips more enjoyable. Today, we want to focus on ways to find hidden gems when planning a road trip. Bags packed.
Mirrors adjusted.
GPS set.
We're
road trip ready. I'm Chris.
And I'm Danielle. We're two road trip enthusiasts collectively clocking in hundreds of miles.
Or kilometers.
A year exploring the U.S. and Canada.
Now, if you love discovering new destinations.
And hidden gems.
The best kept secrets locals cherish. And ways to make your road trips more enjoyable.
And affordable.
You're in the right place.
Time to shift into drive and get you
road trip ready.
I am 1,000%, or I should say I was 1,000% a point A to point B traveler when it comes to road trips. I am just trying to get there. In episode 7, we talked about how I'm working on that. Like, I'm personally working on that. And I really lean on you, Chris, because you have really mastered discovering those hidden gems, highlighting them, and making those discoveries part of the adventure. So I feel transformative myself, because I feel like I am now looking at my road trip planning a lot differently. So you're definitely going to be leading today's conversation 1,000%.
If you are going to, include hidden gems, it's going to affect your total travel time. And that was something that we talked about in the last episode, in terms of, you know, waking up early and driving during the day and, you know, arriving at a destination by a certain time, which, you know, if you're using your GPS, doesn't happen. But if you're going to interject hidden gems, which you should, it's going to expand the amount of time that's going to take for you to get to that destination. So for example, when I was going from Thunder Bay to Winnipeg, Thunder Bay is way up north in Ontario. Winnipeg is the capital city of Manitoba, which is a completely different province. That technically, I believe, is about a 5-hour road trip. Roughly about that. However, there was a whole bunch of things along the way that Gordana and I wanted to check out. I mean, anything from like specific places to eat to, you know, there was like a really old fighter plane that was on display in a small town. There was like a really big, huge moose sculpture that was also, you want to stop by there and take some pictures of that. There was a cool little suspension bridge and that we wanted to cross. So there's a whole bunch of these little things along the way that that we knew that we wanted to stop by. Of course, you're crossing the border actually between Ontario and Manitoba. So naturally there's a sign there. So we wanted to take a picture by that. So all these little things, are going to take some time away, which actually turned our 5-hour trip more into like a 7 to 8-hour trip. So it extended it by quite a bit. So just give yourself more time in order to allow for these things to happen, plan for it, and really start your road trip as early as possible.
So what I notice when it comes to discovering these hidden gems is there's actually two different parts of the road trip planning process. There is the pre-work that goes into, okay, what am I going to do while I'm at home and I'm planning for this trip? And then there's also ideas and opportunities that may pop up when you're actually on the trip or while you're actually returning back. So let's chat about first the pre-road trip planning process. Personally, one of my all-time favorite places to start is with the Tourism Board website. So if you aren't familiar, most destinations around the world have a dedicated Tourism Board They're a destination marketing agency or organization, and they are promoting tourism, whether it's leisure travel, business travel, bleisure travel, somewhere in between. They provide lots of different resources, whether that's blog content, they may have a podcast, they may have a YouTube channel, they have typically a quarterly or annual like magazine that comes out that showcases the destination, all the things to do, and what's coming up, events, things like that. So I think tourism boards are an incredible, rich place to start, whether you are going to a small area or a really, really large city. But we know that not all tourism board websites are created equal.
As a result, you also want to maybe check into blogs as well. Tourism boards are great. However, their sole purpose is to promote the destination. So they're only going to talk about all the things that are amazing about this destination, which is fine, right? They have really short articles that are about 500 words, but it's really designed to promote everything about that destination, the breweries, the restaurants, the, you know, nature, tourism, all that kind of stuff, which is fine. The other good thing about the tourism board is that they will talk about things that are not necessarily in the center of the city. They will mention maybe a nature, a conservation reserve that might be 20 minutes away or 30 minutes away, or they might mention additional little towns that are, you know, nearby, which is also great. Maybe it's a little waterfalls or something like that, a winery, things that aren't necessarily in the city of the center proper. So that's also great. So it's a great place to kind of get, you know, understand where some of these things are, because on your way into that city, you might pass by this winery or this brewery that's not in the city, in the center of the city. It might be 20 minutes away. So it's great to know that that's en route, that you could pass by either on the way or on the way out. However, the other thing that's good too about the tourism boards, that a lot of them have their own little apps sometimes where they might promote little walking tours or self-guided tours. For example, in Sudbury, they have their own app that talks about the murals there. They have a bunch of amazing murals because it's really a science and arts type of town. So you could just log on and you can like go around and do the murals and things like that on your own. So you'll notice that the tourism board tends to change their entire website and their offerings based on the season. So if it's fall, their website will change to like leaves and fall colors and pumpkin stuff and apple picking stuff. And if your region does that, where winter, they'll promote, you know, the snowshoeing and the skiing and that stuff if the region provides that. But definitely knowing what type of person you are definitely helps. There's a couple of websites that I noticed that actually will have road trip recommendations, which is cool. So, you know, you could be in the town for the day or 2 days, and then, you know, on the third day, you could take some of those road trip ideas that they've already created, and it'll naturally take you to some of their scenic routes. It'll naturally include little stops that might be a farm or whatever. It might include all those pieces already kind of curated for you. And they also have a lot of PDFs that you can download, which is great. So you could take that stuff on the go as well. So yeah, definitely the tourism boards are a great place to start, 1000% for sure. However, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention blogs, because both Danielle and I are bloggers. We're content creators. So as I just mentioned off the top, Road Trip Ontario is one of my websites. Danielle runs a Thought Card. If you haven't already checked us out over there, please do. But blogs are, they go a little bit deeper and they're more personal. Yes, they have your things to do in type of destination. Road Trip Ontario has a lot of that. But Road Trip Ontario specifically will dive into day trips as well as weekend getaways. We do have a lot of hiking pieces and festivals and events and things like that I mean, we just launched like a whole calendar section on our website where we're lifting all the events around the province. So we really try to dive deep into those kind of things, but it's personal. It's more about my personal things that I like to do mixed in with my audience. Because as I said off the top, that, you know, I do ask our audience through our newsletter and our Facebook group what they like to do. So we do try to, you know, cater our content to all those things. But the key here is that we will tell you how it is as a blogger. So if there's certain things like, hey, there's a hidden fee here, or, you know, the lineup here is really, 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 really long to get in for this, we're going to talk about that stuff, and we're going to be very honest about it and very to let you as the person know what's really going on there. And that's, I feel like it's our job. We've become journalists, as Danielle said in the intro or in the very beginning, that we become journalists here. So we really do take pride. We add our personal photos in there, personal experiences, first impressions. You know, we're just very honest about, and even just if you really want to go deeper, you know, Danielle and I are Black creators. So there's always going to be a little bit of a Black perspective there. How did we feel going in there? Or maybe you're a solo female traveler, you know, maybe you're a family blogger, maybe you're going there with your family. So you want to see how a family blogger views this destination coming from a family perspective, right? So you might want to tune into their blog because they're going to talk about things that are going to matter to you and your family, right? You know, I might talk about things that matter for me, not just as a Black creator, but as Danielle mentioned, maybe as a person who likes beer. Like, I want to know that stuff is there. For the kind of content that I create, I like to really focus in on BIPOC. Black, Indigenous people of color. So I like to make sure that I'm including those type of destinations in my content. So if you're that kind of person that wants to look for those kind of things, then bloggers are going to really dive deeper into those specific things from a really large variety of topics: solo female travelers, family travelers, couple travelers. There's people that have couple blogs, so they're really going to focus on that.
When you're reading an article, look for clues as to the perspective of the creator. Like for me, I am the type of creator that will give you real numbers. Like, here's how much a trip to the North Shore of Louisiana costs, for example. Or, you know, as an affordable luxury traveler, I'm going to recommend you these 5 hotels versus motels, for example. So that perspective, I think, is very crucial as you're tuning in. And typically blogs are longer in terms of content, right? So most articles right now, when you're just searching in Google, for example, are going to be like 2,000 plus words, right? So it's very in-depth, and it will really, again, illuminate lots of different areas and perspectives. We can also couple this with YouTube. So whether you like written content or you prefer YouTube videos, I know YouTube is a goldmine for giving you a visual representation of what that destination looks like. I know when I'm planning out different types of trips, I am looking at vlogs. I am looking especially at like foodie trails, for example, or craft beer videos. Like, I want to get a lay of the land and see what it's like, and also hear from the perspective of the creator, like what it was like to experience that destination.
Yes, YouTube was always my love. So that's where this whole thing started. Travel has always been my passion, but YouTube is my love. So video for sure. I mean, if you think about a blog post, pictures are worth 1,000 words. So a video must be worth 1,000,000 then, because, a good YouTube video will also follow similar patterns like what a blog post will tell you. So they'll give you the real deal because they're live on location filming this. So they're like, you know, look at this lineup. Like, you can see for yourself. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so they'll really dive deeper into the destination. But at the same time, YouTubers you know, some YouTubers are very creative in the way that they're presenting that destination. And, you know, they try to tell a story. I know for me, myself, I'm trying to move more into storytelling instead of just listing stuff off. Like, hey, I was here. I want to try to tell more of a story in it. So that's what I'm working on right now. But yeah, like I really try to focus on vlogumentary style videos where I'm trying to tell a story. But you know, the video puts you in the scene. Like a picture is not moving. It just shows you what this building looks like. But the video might show you what's around that building, getting to that building, approaching to that building. It really gives you an idea of what the town looks like, what the park looks like. Like it's a very visual representation. And then a lot of these little destinations that are along the way, that might be 20 minutes out or 30 minutes out, like the video was there showing you what this farm looks like. So you really get a sense of what it's going to be like for you when you're there. So I think that that's very important in terms of videos. Sometimes the videos, like for me, I like to interview people. So, you know, in a blog post, you know, I might mention who owns this farm. I might mention a little bit of history behind it, which is all, you know, valid information. But in my YouTube channel and for the podcast specifically, I will actually sit down and talk with this person and ask some specific questions. It's just, you know, it dives a little bit deeper into why this farm was here, what they do. You know, we show a lot of behind the scenes footage of how things are being created. How is this artist painting? How is this beer being made? You know, it dives a little bit deeper, showing behind the scenes of what the product and service is. And then it makes you as the person who's planning on visiting that destination, build a little bit more of a connection with these little pieces that are going to be at that place. Because now when you get there for yourself, you'd be like, oh my gosh, yeah, this is where Chris was talking with the owner of this place. And yeah, and I remember they make the stuff like this. And so you know, it's diving a little bit more deeper with visuals in terms of painting how that destination actually looks like. And of course, videos follow a lot of the same things as blogs in terms of the vlogs will have the content creators that specifically focus on wine, specifically focus on food, like my good friends, the two food trippers, or they specifically focus on adventure travel, like my friends Dave and Deb from the Planet D. And, you know, some vlogs focus specifically on history. Some vlogs are family vlogs. So again, it's showing you, you know, depending on the type of traveler that you are, you could find YouTube channels and YouTube videos that will cater towards more your needs. Also, there's videos that talk about the budget perspective of this destination. So everything that you need, you could find in video format. And I will say that the tourism board will mention all the restaurants that they have on offer, but they're not going to tell you how much those restaurants cost, right? But a blogger will and a vlogger will tell you how much these places cost or what you might expect to pay. And then the video will take it further by allowing you to see the food actually either being made or, you know, what it looks like. So vlogs and blogs, and even podcasts for that matter, will dive a lot deeper into the stuff that the tourism board might forget to mention to you, things that matter, like, you know, the type of travel you are and the cost, for example, and things like that, that, you know, let's be honest, in this day and age, it matters, you know.
I also wanted to like just touch really quickly on podcast because I don't think that enough people are utilizing podcasts as a way to consume and get information about destinations like they would a blog and a YouTube channel. How I think about podcasting is twofold. So podcasts are great for introductions. So like for my show, The Thought Card, I take great pride in introducing my listeners to new to you destinations, meaning you probably never heard of this place. And I'm going to take you on this exciting journey and sharing with you my perspectives. I may interview like different people, locals there, business owners there, right? So there's a lot of interesting things happening in the podcast space, and a podcast can just offer a light bulb moment where I didn't even think about this, but my favorite creator just went to, you know, Columbia, South Carolina. So I'm going to go and, you know, listen and check it out. So that's one perspective. And there are also lots of podcasters who do things like The Things to Do or offer those deep dive perspectives. So you're listening to this show because you like podcasts or you like watching videos on YouTube, right? So just consider what works for you and have an open mind into like how best can you plan your road trips. I also want to just stress the importance of Facebook groups. I know people have their, you know, issues with Facebook, but it's a great place to find community. It's a great place to meet like-minded people to get tips. And I know, Chris, you have a really great Facebook group for people who are looking for Ontario adventures. So like, why did you create that Facebook group and like other Facebook groups that you've been a part of? How do they help you with the road trip planning process?
I created the Facebook group for provincial domination. That's the reason why I created that Facebook group.
No kidding.
No, I'm sort of not kidding, but no, truthfully, before I dive into that, I just wanted to just touch base on the podcast for one more second because you brought up some good points. I think the reason why people don't really think about podcasting as an option is because of the lack of visuals. And I think that's the reason why, because when you go to a blog or a vlog, you're going to get at least pictures with a blog and videos with a vlog. So you're going to get an idea of what the destination is about. But I look at podcasts. Have you ever listened or read a great story? Then you just kind of imagine what that might look like, right? And when you interview like a chef, believe me, chefs can describe what their food can taste like by talking about it, and you will get the idea. You can, any destination, just one episode that Danielle does, the Portland episode. I always go back to that Portland episode. But the guests that she had on that episode were able to describe either the coffee or what they make to the point where you actually don't need to see it to understand what you'd be getting if you went there. And I think that that's very important. And to loop it into Road Trip Ready, you will get the trifecta because we do have the audio, we do have the video, and we do have the blog. So with us, you're getting everything. So I just wanted to just put that out there. All right, Facebook groups. I know, shameless plug. Okay, Facebook groups. So I started Road Trip Ontario Facebook group because community is really powerful in terms of finding like-minded people. I think that's extremely important. Road tripping in general is a niche by itself. But, you know, we can narrow that down by having, including the entire province. And by doing that, you know, it's going to pull from people who may reside in different parts of the province in order to talk about the province. So while Toronto is the biggest city, and most of the road trips, well, actually all the road trips on the Road Trip Ontario website are based from Toronto, we still have people in the group. Not everyone in the Facebook group resides in Toronto. So somebody might be saying, hey, look, I'm planning a road trip to Elora, which is like a 90-minute drive from Toronto. So then someone who might live in Guelph, for example, who's a part of the group, Guelph is like, 10 minutes away from Elora, I think, more or less, maybe 20. So they might chime in and say, hey, look, you know what, before you come here, don't forget to check out this farm or check out this, because they know, because they're a local to that area. So they're chiming in and adding additional information about a person who's just simply asking a question about going there. Of course, I have the blog post about Elora and I have a video about Elora, which of course I'll share in the group so that they get the actual blog post that we wrote, as well as the video. So they're getting that perspective. But then someone's chiming in, or several people are chiming in and saying, you know, don't forget to miss this. Don't forget to check this out. Oh, my friend actually runs this little boutique. Please go in there and visit them. They sell amazing stuff. Like, you're getting a whole bunch of this great advice. Britt, for example, who we had on episode 4, she runs an amazing Facebook group that's just literally about pets and traveling with your pets, hence the reason why we brought her on the show. And her Facebook group is very specific in terms of people who are traveling with their pets. But then it kind of goes beyond that, where people just have general pet questions, and everyone in the group can relate to that because they all own pets, right? So there's nothing more powerful than surrounding yourself with like-minded people, you know, where you can feel safe to ask questions. And there's nothing more powerful than that. And you will probably get the most information from a Facebook group. Yes, I know not everybody likes Facebook groups, Meta, all that stuff, Zuckerberg and all that kind of stuff. People don't like that. But if anything, from out of all the things that Facebook does, Facebook groups to me is probably my favorite thing. And I love being surrounded by that community. I'm so glad that Gordon and I created this community. I love being a part of it. I love guiding people. I think at this point we have about 6,000 members in there, and I absolutely love it. So yeah, Facebook group are huge in terms of getting a different additional information.
I love that, Chris. And I'm so happy that you created that space, because that just proves the importance of having these spaces, right? Very, very powerful. I think in addition to Facebook groups, something that I've noticed I'm doing a lot more today when it comes to discovering hidden gems is, while I am en route to the destination, especially when I'm stopping at the welcome centers or like the rest areas, I'm going to take a quick look at the pamphlet area. It's usually like a shelf or a desk where they have a bunch of different like pamphlets or guides or, you know, cards or whatever the case may be. And I typically look at the things that would speak to me, and I just kind of take it with me and I put it in my car. And if I'm not driving, I'm going to start looking through them, because these are things that I may have missed, right? Like, when we're planning our road trips, we try to be as comprehensive or not, depending on your travel style and how detailed you like to be. But there's a agenda, or there's like an itinerary of what you have in mind. But I love that when you're en route, there may be some things that you may have not had on your radar that these guides can provide. So I travel to Vermont a lot. It's one of my favorite states, the Green Mountain State. If you have not been to Vermont, in episode number 6, I took you all to Manchester for those incredible driving experiences, for example. But while I am driving to Vermont and we're taking our stops and we're doing our thing, I typically will look at different pamphlets. And I discovered like museums that I hadn't known about before. A lot of times it's smaller museums that may not get a lot of like social media love or publicity. I discovered different types of trails as well. Sometimes when you are at the lobby of your hotel, you can also look for those pamphlets too, because again, a lot of those smaller institutions that may not have a ton of reach are doing things on a local scale, and you're able to have that as a reference point. Also, cleverly, you can look at billboards on your route as you're driving. A lot of times they'll tell you like, hey, visit this restaurant or visit this brewery or visit this winery. So keeping an eye as you're driving for different billboards, that can be a great way, especially if you're driving down south. I was driving from home all the way to Florida. We did a huge cross-country trip. And I would look at all the billboards, and they're quite common. There's a lot of billboards on the way, all advertising different places. So those are some of the things I think that we often miss, but can really, really, really help to just discover those hidden gems.
Yeah, I also wanted to add books is another way to find out about a destination. So sometimes you could just go into Amazon or Kindle and just type about, like, do a search about the destination that you're going to, and a whole bunch of books might actually show up. A good example is Ottawa Road Trips. Like, this is one of my good friends. She has a blog called Ottawa Road Trips, Laura. She does it cleverly, like 5 kilometers away from Ottawa, 10 kilometers away from Ottawa, right? So that way, if you're coming into Ottawa, you could already have a list of things based on, you know, which route you're going and how far that might be. So you might make a stop 10 kilometers before you get to Ottawa, because you read about that in a book. So that's a really cool way to find out about things that are outside, are inside. And they're usually not that expensive for these little books, especially the paperback ones. They're not that expensive. You could also get, like, sometimes it could be a PDF that they might be selling. So that's one other way that, you know, you can get some additional information. One more thing I want to include is actually Google Maps. Google Maps is a fantastic way to actually sort of figure out what is along your route. So when you type into Google, you can actually type in where you're starting from and where you're going. And then along the route, you can start to see, you know, little, like, here's a little park that you're going to be driving by, or here's a little restaurant that looks interesting. Here's a museum, right? So you can start to investigate by clicking on those little points and seeing what information pulls up. And then you could actually maybe include it in your itinerary. Danielle and I are going to create a video that shows how we use Google Maps in order to create our itineraries. Because essentially what we do is we take all of this stuff that we've mentioned from the Facebook groups, from what people are recommending, from the vlogs, from the blogs, from the tourism board, and then we kind of lay them all out as points on a Google map, so that way we know where they are for logistic reasons. So we're going to create a video that shows how we do that, and we'll link to it later on from the blog once we have that video completed. So you can see how we do this, how we pull everything together, how we take all this information and plot it out on our map, so we're not missing anything. But Google Maps is one amazing way to sort of not only create your itinerary, but also create your points of interest once you're at the destination. And then we could also make it so it's offline for you, so you don't need to use your internet. Let's say, you know, I'm going into the States. I don't want to be using my internet for that. So you can actually download the map that you created. So that way it uses your GPS and you can, you know, look at all the destinations and check them off as you visit them.
We want to know what we missed. Let us know what your tips are. How do you find hidden gems along the way? And we would love to be able to share that in a future episode of this podcast. We hope you enjoyed season one of Road Trip Ready podcast. We are going to be back with new episodes for season 2 in May.